You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to church. My name is Jesse Newman. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I'm so glad that you're here. I've got a gift for you. After the service, go to the welcome lounge out there in the lobby. There's a team of people waiting to bless you with a welcome box, a couple of t-shirts, a journal, a pen, all sorts of good stuff in there. We just love giving away swag, and we really hate giving away stuff that nobody likes. So we make sure that our welcome boxes have stuff that you'll be like, whoa, best welcome box ever, all right? So go out there and grab that after the service. We just are obsessed with generosity, and that's one way we can bless you. So God bless you. We're in the middle of our Soul Oxygen sermon series, so if you're new, this sermon series is all about things that we can sow into that will bring life, hope, and oxygen into our souls, right? So there's things that you can do. God is into sowing and reaping, right? If you sow, you will reap. If you punch someone in the face, you'll get punched in the face. If you give, it will be given back to you, right? God is into sowing and reaping, and so there's things that we can do to sow into our lives, into our souls, health, that will bring health to every other area of our lives. Anyone in here want to live a blessed life? Give me a wave, yeah? Yeah, this is the church. You can admit that you want to live in blessing, right? That you want to live a blessed life. Does anyone want to have a blessed family, yeah? Anyone want their finances to be healthy, yeah? Their relationships and marriage to be healthy, yeah? Well, Scripture says to seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. And what we're telling you today is that if you seek first God, if you seek first having a healthy soul and healthy relationship with God, then all these other things will be blessed anyway, right? So seek first the kingdom of God, have a healthy soul, and out of that will overflow a blessing that will touch every other area of your life. So that's what Soul Oxygen is all about, making sure that we're healthy on the inside so then the outside can be blessed through it. Amen? Awesome. Another thing for new people, I like it when you yell at me when I'm preaching, okay? And it's not just because I have an ego. I do have an ego, no doubt about it. But when you yell at me when I'm preaching, when you yell out, amen, that's good. Yes, I receive, whatever it is, right? When you do that, what you're doing is you're agreeing with the Word of God and you are choosing to receive what God is giving you. Amen. And so, and then the other thing you're doing is for that one person that's falling asleep next to you, when you go, amen, they're like, whoa, what did I miss? And then they're going to pay attention for the rest of it. So you're helping me, all right? You didn't come to church today to be just entertained, right, by some underdressed Australian, right? No, you came to church to participate and receive from God, amen? So do that with me today. That will be fantastic. So every week we're preaching about Soul Oxygen this summer. Next week we have special guest, Pastor Sean Smith, back for the second time to Eternity Church. Yeah, yeah. Look him up. He's unreal. If you're new, I know it's a Midwestern thing that when the lead pastor's not preaching, we're going to have a vacation. Well, at our church, I don't bring people in to preach unless they're better than me. If they're not better than me, I'll do it myself, all right? I'm not worried about you thinking, oh, he's better than Jesse. Yeah, he is. That's why I brought him here, all right? And so come along next week. Pastor Sean will bless your life. We do not get just average speakers at Eternity Church. We only get the best for you, all right? So come along next week. Last week, I gave a six-point sermon, 6 points indicating that you might need to pray more, 6 points indicating that you might be under attack. And then we talked a lot about your need to pray, having a relationship with God, a vibrant, healthy relationship with God. Y'all need to pray. Trust me, if you can become a man or a woman of prayer, God is really going to bless your life. It's just really going to bless your soul. And out of that will overflow just health into all the other areas of your life. So do that. But the last point was if you find yourself pulling away from godly relationships, the devil's trying to isolate you and you need to go to prayer, okay? You need to pray for those relationships in your life. Today I'm preaching point six all day, okay? Point six all day, godly relationships. God did not design you to be alone. In fact, he said it is not good for you to be alone, okay? See, healthy, godly friendships will bring a health and some refreshing and some oxygen to your soul. It is not good to be alone, so we're going to talk about that today. Right from the beginning in the creation story, we hear God say it is not good for us to be alone. Right from the beginning, that's what he said. And at that point, God made women for men, and he made men for women, and he knew that we needed balance, that we needed help, and that we need companionship, right? And I've got a sermon brewing on marriages, relationships, and singleness that we're going to preach in the early months of 2020. I don't have that for you this year, but we will have it next year. I'm also working on getting some really amazing guest speakers in the area of marriage, relationships, and singleness, and so that we can have them on a weekend, but also have a couple of intensives during the week to bless your marriage. But that's early 2020. Today, I'm just talking about people need people, right? Touch your neighbor, say, I need you. Look at your other neighbor, say, you need me. And every single young man is wishing he was sitting next to a beautiful young woman right now. Pastor said, you need me, sweetheart. Let's go get married. See if it works. Let me know. If it does work, you owe me big time, all right? No, we're talking about everybody needs somebody, right? Everybody needs, people need people. People need friendship. People need companionship, right? Not everybody is married. Not everybody wants to get married. And not everybody's old enough to be married. And not everybody's even ready for their future spouse. And on the flip side, right, people always say that you're single and, oh, maybe you're not ready for your future spouse yet. God's just getting you ready. Well, maybe you're an ace, but they're not ready for you yet. Come on, right? Maybe your future spouse isn't ready for you, but you still need friends in your life. In fact, even if you're married, you need friendships outside of, as well as in addition to your marriage that will help you be better. Amen? It's not good for any of us to be alone, to be isolated. So I want to talk to all of you, married, don't want to get married, not yet married, divorced, widowed, everyone, old and young and in between, it's not good for you to be alone. Touch your neighbor, say he's talking to you. It's not good to be alone. The devil wants to isolate you. He wants to get you alone. Scripture says that he prowls around like a lion seeking whom he should devour. Don't let it be you. You need friends. You need people, and you need to stick with your people so that you can't be isolated and taken out easier, because the ones of us that don't have friends, that don't have community, the ones of us without a people are the first ones that the devil's going to go after. So let's talk friendship. Let's talk relationship and community today. Amen. I know that this message will bless you. And if you're in here and you're like, I'm good, I don't need friends. Yes, you do. You do. In fact, if you're saying that, I can tell that there's a bitterness that's gotten into your soul that good relationships will help chisel off your life. All right. If you're in here and you're like, I'm already the best friend ever. You know what? Pride's not a good thing. And so today you're going to learn how to be a better friend. All right. And if you're in here and you're like, man, I didn't come to church today to hear some elementary school sermon from a teacher on how to have R-E-S-P-E-C-T and what it means to me and how to be a good friend, right? No, you need to hear this. We never, ever get past a moment in our lives that we need friends. You don't just need them in the bad times, you need them in the good times. They make you better at everything else you do. Amen? Roller, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to read about four or five verses starting at verse 5. But the Bible is full of incredible stories of friendship, like Ruth and Naomi. Naomi lost everything, lost her husband, lost her son, but her daughter-in-law stuck by her. Scripture says that her daughter-in-law Ruth just clung to her. She was like clingy. She clung to her and she would not leave her alone. She would not abandon her. That's what good friends do. They don't abandon you. Amen. They cling to you to the point where you're like, leave me alone. And they're like, you will be blessed. I'm sticking around. Stories like Elijah and Elisha, good friends, but in a leadership and mentor position. Elisha had the privilege of serving under the leadership of Elijah. And even when Elijah tried to tell him to go away, stay away, I'm done, you're done, you know what you need to know, Elisha said, I will not leave you behind. He stayed close and his loyalty earned him a double portion, a double anointing on his life and ministry. Yeah, yeah. And then not to mention Peter and Jesus, John and Jesus, and the great story of you and Jesus. Amen. Friendship and relationship is what the Word of God is all about. God created you to have friendship. God created you with a need and a design to work best with friends. Amen. And so today when we get to 1 Samuel 20, I want you to look at this relationship and realize that it's not all fluff and love and joy like we all want friendship to be. No, it's going to take some work, okay? In fact, if you do this, if you're willing to do the work and have good relationships in your life, they're going to make your marriage better. They're going to make your finances better. They're going to make your cleanliness better. Come on. Because they're going to make your speech better. Good friends make you a better person. Amen? 1 Samuel, this is a story about two friends, David and Jonathan. And let me set it up for you. God anointed King Saul, or anointed a man named Saul to be king of Israel. Saul had a son named Jonathan, and then Saul started to be a bit of a moron and do the wrong thing, and God's heart shifted from Saul over to David, and then God anointed David to be the next king of Israel in place of Saul. And then Jonathan, after that, David wasn't fully aware of that, after that, David and Jonathan became friends, and then when Saul noticed that God's heart had shifted from him as king to anointing David as king, Saul decided he's going to send an army and kill David. He's going to kill that man, get rid of the threat to the throne. And so we're going to pick the story up from that moment when David is realizing that King Saul, his once mentor, now wants to kill him. Dead, D-E-D, and we start at verse 5 where he goes to Jonathan, his good friend, and asks for help. Verse 5, so David said to Jonathan, look, tomorrow is the new moon feast. I'm supposed to dine with the king, but let me go instead and hide in the field until the evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me at all, tell him, David earnestly asked my permission to hurry to Bethlehem, his hometown, because of an annual sacrifice being made there for his whole family. And if he says, very well, then your servant is safe. But if he loses his temper, gets mad and angry, then you can be sure that he was actually determined to harm me. As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord God Almighty. If I am guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? And it goes on, and Jonathan goes to his father, discovers that, in fact, King Saul does want to kill David. Jonathan is grieved by this. He warns David. He sends him a message, lets him know. David runs and hides, right? Now, this is an absolutely incredible story. This friendship is amazing on so many levels, because who knows, friendship's not always fun and roses and giggles, right? Come on, who knows that? Who's learned that, right? Sometimes your best friend's dad wants to kill you. And it sucks. Now, Jonathan and David, they became friends after David was anointed to replace Saul as king. And so from the foundation of their friendship, David was the reason that Jonathan was not going to inherit the throne. And yet they become good friends, closer than brothers. So even though God anointed David as king over him, Jonathan cared more about what God wanted than what he wanted. Come on. Jonathan wasn't a jealous friend of the blessing and the favor on David's life. He was a supportive, protective, and inspiring friend. Jonathan's own dad, King Saul, wanted to kill his best mate. Who knows? That's complicated, right? You think your relationships are complicated? That's complicated. For most of you, the only time your friend's dad has wanted to kill you was when you're talking to your fiance. Baby, your dad wants to kill me. But this is some dude's best friend's dad wants to kill him. Sometimes your dad wants to hunt down your best friend with an army. Sometimes your best friend takes the throne from you and you still got to do the right thing. Sometimes your friends come from a whole line of dirtbag families and you got to treat them with respect, with love and honor, amen? Because friendship takes investment. Are you with me? Friendship takes effort. Sometimes, in fact, not just some friendships, all friendships sometimes are going to hurt. Every one of them at some point. If you tell me that you don't have one single friend in your life that has hurt you, that doesn't tell me that you don't get hurt by friends. It tells me that you give up on friends when they don't act like Jesus. If you want to have good friends, you got to be willing to get a little bit dirty. You got to be willing to let a little bit of their bad reputation rub off on you. You got to be willing to let a little bit of their drama get into your life. Come on. Sometimes I feel like people, they just want friend at first sight. Oh, man. The first time I saw Pastor Jed, I just knew we were going to be besties. I've always wanted a giant redhead to be my friend. Always wanted one of them in my life. And so the second I saw Pastor Jed when I got off that plane 7 years ago, I knew we were going to be besties. We've been besties ever since. It's beautiful. No! It doesn't even happen like that with your spouse most of the time. I know when I first saw my wife, I was like, she's fine. But when she first saw me, she's like, that dude's a jack donkey. She didn't say that, but we're in America, so I cleaned it up. Come on. She said, that dude's a moron. It took 2 years for me to convince her I'm not a moron, just to get to zero, and then I had to climb up from there. Come on. She hated me for 2 years. Some people have got this list of rules for how you're going to be a perfect friend. Well, if I'm looking for a perfect friend, I'm looking for someone who likes the things I like. They got to have money because they got to pay for dinner sometimes. They can never be late because that's just disrespectful. They have to call me every night before bed and see how my day went. How's your family? How's Judah? How's Charlie? Is he still alive? They have to act like, talk like, walk like Jesus all the time. They've got to be a good listener because I got some drama. They've got to love Nike, not Adidas. They can't be walking around in Adidas shoes, man. We're a Nike family. And most importantly, and this is number one, their dad can't want to kill me. That's going to help. No, that's not how friendship works, my friends. Come on, am I right? Some people have this ridiculous list of things you've got to attain to be good enough to be their friends. No, friends get tested. You got to stop giving up on people that aren't exactly like Jesus. Stop pulling away from godly relationships because of a little storm. Why am I calling them godly relationships if they're not perfect? Well, no one's perfect but Jesus. You have a perfect friend already. You only need one perfect friend. His name is Jesus. He's your friend. Congratulations. He will never let you down. He's a good listener. His dad doesn't want to kill you. Come on. He's a perfect friend. But everyone else is human, and everyone else is going to have a little bit of drama, and everyone else is going to fail at some point or another. And it's because of their relationship with the perfect friend, Jesus Christ, that all of that isn't going to count against them when they come to the throne of God. Amen. But He is in them. That's why they're a godly friend. They're a godly friend because God is in them and because God gave them to you. We need to stop walking away because of a little storm. Have you heard of Mark and Paul? Mark in the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote, most of the New Testament. They had a storm. They went on a missions trip together. I don't know. I just imagine it was India because that's where I went on my last missions trip. I went to India last year. Wonderful country, beautiful people, and the food's amazing. Lots of curry, right? Lots of curry. Best curry I've ever had in my life. I had curry in a slum, cooked in their slum house, and it was amazing. But Mark and Paul, they went on a missions trip with Barnabas, and they're in India or something, and Mark's like, I'm sick of curry. I don't want it. I want a chocolate lava cake. You can't have this stuff for dessert, guys. So he gets on a plane and he bails on Paul and he bails on Barnabas and he flies to Des Moines. He goes to Fleming's because he heard a rumor that they have the greatest chocolate lava cake in the world. And he went back over here. He had his chocolate lava cake. Paul's mad at him. Barnabas is mad at him. He's bailed on his friends. He's deserted them. And then next time a missions trip comes up, Barnabas, Mark's cousin, has the tenacity to say to Paul, we should invite Mark to come with us. And Paul's like, no way. Hate that little dude. I don't know if he said that, but he didn't like him. He was still mad at him. He was still angry at him. And he's so mad at Mark that he ends up breaking up with his best mate, Barnabas. Their whole mission ministry together breaks up. Paul has a fight with Barnabas because he's still mad at Mark. Have you ever had a fight with one of your friends because your other friend was an idiot? Right? Like, how dumb is that? Why do we do that? But Paul realized he's made a mistake and he needs to let go and he needs to forgive and he needs to move past this drama. And so he reconciles with Barnabas. He writes very kindly about Barnabas in all the rest of Scripture. And he even reconciles with Mark. In fact, their relationship gets so good that when he's really struggling in 2 Timothy 4, he says, only Luke is with me. I don't know what was wrong with Luke, but he wanted more than Luke. He's like, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in ministry. If you want to have good and godly friends that make you a better person, you got to know that sometimes they're going to desert you. Sometimes they're going to mess up. Sometimes they're going to hurt you. Sometimes they're going to disagree with you. Sometimes they're going to tick you off and you're going to tick them off. It's not going to be roses, but you need to take that moment, that issue, and take it to the Lord in prayer and let Him use it to strengthen your relationship. Relationships that have come through fire aren't melted. They're stronger. Amen. Come on. Now, don't be a doormat. People shouldn't be like that all the time, but they may have moments like that in their lives. Don't give up on people. Before you close the door on a friendship, you might want to spend some time with God first. Before you close the door on a friendship, when you feel yourself pulling away from a godly relationship, you need to stop and spend some time with God and say, God, am I responding the way I need to respond? God, I can't help their actions, but I can help my reactions. God, is this what I need to do in response in this friendship? Come on. Now, here's the thing. Some people think that they can't make friends. They're like, I'm just not good at it. I've just always been a loner. I've always been an isolator, and I'm just not good at it, so I've given up. I want to tell you, you need to work it because you need to have friends. You are going to be better with godly relationships and friendships in your life. Do not be a loner. Do not be an isolator. Do not isolate yourself. You need friendship. You need people to inspire you, people to encourage you, people to pray with you. Come on. You need to sow into it. Even if it's harder for you, sow into it and you will reap. Amen. Now, I've got friendships with great people, great mentors as well. Like Pastor Benny Perez, Pastor Ashley Evans, Pastor Ryan Visconti, Ryan who preached here a couple of weeks ago at our Dream Team night. I've got really great godly relationships in my life, even though I'm a little bit weird. And I am weird, and I know, because I'm on stage, some of you are like, you're not weird, you're eccentric. Well, let me tell you, the only difference between weird and eccentric is one of them's got a microphone. They are the exact same thing, right? Right? And I'm weird, I am. Let me tell you about it. I don't like germs. Those are stupid. I don't like them. They're stupid. I hate them, right? I hate germs. But what's weird is, if you breathe near my sandwich, my Vegemite sandwich, if you breathe near my Vegemite sandwich, I will throw that thing away. But if I'm milking cows in the dairy and I drop that Vegemite sandwich on a dried up cow poo, I'll just brush it off and eat it. That's weird, right? I don't get it. I'm weird. I don't like food that's older than 24 hours, right? If it's from 3 days ago, I don't even care what it is. I'm not eating it, right? That really annoys my wife, but she bears with me. God bless her. She still wants this relationship, right? But I won't eat food older than 24 hours. I just won't. I don't like doing dishes. That's devil juice right there. I'm not putting my hands in there. I don't like it. I don't know why. I hate it, right? In fact, I have 5 kids. Now, this is weird since I don't like germs. I don't know why. But I would rather, I've got 5 kids. That's a lot of poop in my house, right? I would rather clean 100 poop-covered toilets than wash dishes for 5 minutes. I hate dishes. Anyone else? Yeah? I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't like shutting up. I know that. You come to lunch with me and you got an agenda? Cool, I got mine. Listen up, right? I don't like cats. We all know they're the devil. They're not from the devil. They are the devil, right? Like, no sane person likes cats. I know there's some insane people in this room that like cats, but God bless you. We'll be your friend. We'll help you get through this, all right? Come on. If I'm at a restaurant and they touch the top of my glass, I know I'm a nice person. Kind of, mostly, sometimes. I like to be nice. But you touch the top of my glass, I'm just going to straight up say, hey, please don't do that. Can I have a new glass? Why? Because in my head, I know you probably clean and wash your hands, but I assume the worst. You just gave me Ebola. I assume the worst. Every time someone touches my glass, I'm weird. Another one, when I'm at a restaurant, man, I get annoyed when people use their fork as a knife. Oh, that's a weird thing to care about, but I care. When I see people get out their fork, they're like cutting their chicken. I'm like, use your knife, man. You got a fork here, stick it in the chicken, get the knife, cut that thing, stick it in your mouth, eat it. That's why God designed a knife and fork. When I watch people doing that in the Midwest, sometimes I want to get that knife and show them what it's for. I'm going to cut you. The knife. I don't know why. It just makes me annoyed. But guess what? I'm a weird dude. Eccentric. Weird. But I still have friends. Why? Because I know it's important to me. I know I need friends. Even if the first time they meet me, they think I'm a moron, I know that within a couple of years, they'll like me. I know they make me a better person. I have friends because I reached out to them. You know, I'm friends with Pastor Benny, right? He preaches for us every year, him and his wife as well. Pastor Wendy's coming in October. She's amazing. And but you know what? Pastor Benny one day, before he knew me, he didn't ring me up and say, is this Jesse Newman in Des Moines or Des Moines, as he thought? I'm like, yes. He didn't ring me up and say, I just had a vision from the Lord. We were skipping with skipping ropes through the fields of flowers talking about the wonder of God in heaven. No, that didn't happen. It took 4 years of being his friend before he came skipping with me in the fields of flowers. It was only a couple of months ago, first time ever, right? No, that didn't happen at all. He didn't call me up with a vision telling me he needs to be my friend because I need friends. No, he hadn't even heard of me. He didn't know who I am, but I reached out to him. And then 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 I finally got past his assistant and I reached out to him and I reached out to him. And now we're friends and he reaches out to us. and He mentors us. And He and Pastor Wendy, they love us and they love you and they love our church, because I didn't put my need for mentors and my need for friendship on His list of obligations. Like, I don't know if I can clap at that. That was harsh. No, too often the same people complaining about not having friends are the same people that never reach out to people, that never invite people to coffee, that never invite people over for dinner, or get upset when people say, no, I can't right now. A couple of months ago, I had the bug to see a movie. I love movies. Movies are rad, right? So I went and messaged 10 people on our team to ask if they could come. None of them could come. I'm their pastor. And they couldn't come. What you telling me? Some of them, I'm their flipping boss. They work for me. And they couldn't come. So I went home, I made a Facebook post about how people suck. How my employees don't know how to honor godly leadership in their lives. How lucky they are to have me, and they don't even want to spend time with me. No, I didn't do that. No, sometimes everybody's just busy all at the same time, right? I'm certain if I said, hey, I've got an emergency, they would have come and made time. But seriously, and I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not judging you, but I am telling you, if you don't have friends, I want to help you get past that. You need friends. They're going to bless you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to chisel you like iron sharpens iron. They're going to inspire you, right? So if you feel like you don't have friends and you want friends, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. You still got to choose to make a friend, not just want a friend. I want friends. Cool. I want $1 million. Still don't have it. You got to do something about it, friend. Come on. Don't live isolated and lonely. You're more valuable than that. You got to believe in yourself enough to put yourself out there. Amen. You might be weird like me. Maybe you're not weird. Maybe you're just busy. Maybe you just haven't prioritized that in your life. But listen up. You're worth it. You're a blessing. It's not just you that needs to be blessed. You are a blessing to other people. You have gifts inside you. You have the power and the Spirit of God inside you. You have something to offer our church, to offer the men and the women and the children of this church. So put yourself out there and ask a family over for dinner. Your family needs to see you modeling good friendship. When your kids go to school and they get in trouble for not being a good friend, well, maybe they've never seen you with a friend. They need to learn from you. Invite people over. Show your kids how when our friends mess up, we pray for them. How when our friends mess up, we don't abandon them. We invite them back to dinner. When there's a news report about how bad they are, how they screwed everything up, we still bring them to our house. We don't unfriend them on Facebook. We don't unfollow them. We don't run away from them. We're happy to be in a photo next to them and say, the grace of God is what saved my soul. The grace of God will save yours too. So now that I'm done with my introduction, I have 3 points. And what's really funny, I really do have 3 points for you still, all right? But they're really quick. It's going to be all good. I'm going to get you home in time for breakfast tomorrow. You'll be just fine, all right? But here's some things that godly friendships will do in your life. And if you've got good friendships in your life, fantastic. Let these things inspire you in how you can be a more godly or an even better friend than you already are right now. And so listen up to these things. You need godly friends because godly friends help you grow spiritually. The same God, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in them. When Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. I know that was talking about a difficult situation, but in fact, that probably makes it even more relevant. When you are in a difficult situation, when having another friend that has the same Spirit of God in them as in you, you are doing something in the spiritual atmosphere where God is coming in a tangible way to minister to you and to minister to them and to give you the wisdom and the strength to handle the situation that you find yourself in. Come on. Jesus said, two or more are gathered, there I am with you. We know he's already in us. So what's this difference when we are together? There's something more tangible happening when believers get together. Amen. It also says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. It doesn't say confess your sins to one another that you may be saved. No, you do not need to confess your sins to a man or a woman to be saved. You speak to him. You don't need somebody else. You don't need to ask them for permission to be saved. No, God has done that. But talking to a friend, talking to a godly friend about the sin, about the struggle, about the drama, about the shame, about the hurt in your life, if you do that, you will find healing because they're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to inspire you. They're going to ask God for wisdom and how to lead you. Amen. Come on. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. They're not going to go and tell everybody what you told them. One of my pet hates is gossip wrapped up in a prayer request. Oh, yeah, Billy Ray told me this. Yeah, he got that disease, but how he got it? Oh man, you won't believe how he got it. Well, he was with this other person. Do you know what that? Yeah, he told me not to tell anyone, but you're my leader, so I'm just telling you so you can pray for them. No. If you don't have someone's permission to share what they shared with you, it's gossip. Oh, I'm just telling you because you're their pastor. No, you're telling me because you like to have information. No, we don't do that at Eternity Church. We don't wrap gossip up in a prayer request. If you think they need prayer, ask them this. Say, hey, can I tell Pastor so-and-so or can I tell our Connect Group leader what you told me so that we can all surround you in prayer? And if they say yes, awesome. If they say no, then create some made-up person and tell a hypothetical about someone else and say, a friend of mine is struggling with this. Can you pray? Come on. Is that good? Come on, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Godly friends rejoice when you rejoice. Awesome. Godly friends rejoice when you rejoice and mourn when you mourn. Earlier, I said sometimes friends make mistakes. They get jealous. They respond wrong. And you got to have grace because they're not Jesus. And that's all good. But let's be honest, Jesus should be in them. Amen. If they're a godly friend, Jesus is in them. So those negative responses should not be the norm. They may not be Jesus, but we should be able to see him in there. Amen. And so listen up, a godly friend should not always respond with, must be nice, when you've been blessed. Oh, wish I was blessed like that. Oh, why is that always happening to you? Never happens to me. That's not how godly friends respond. Godly friends respond with, man, that's awesome. God bless you. Let me pray that God gives you the strength and the integrity to handle this blessing and many, many more. Amen. That's how godly friends respond. Godly friends celebrate when you get a promotion. Godly friends celebrate when you get promoted over them. They rejoice when you get a blessing. They rejoice when you came into an inheritance. Amen. And they mourn with you when you mourn. They don't say, oh, you brought that on yourself. Let me pray for you. Scripture doesn't say to mourn with people who mourn because someone else hurt them. It says mourn with people who mourn. Mourn with people who mourn. Even if it's their own fault, just mourn with them. Would you stand up with me, church, as I share the last one? Looks like we might finish at 10 past 12 instead of 5 past 12 today. Give me grace. Sometimes friends let you down. The last one is, godly friends carry you to victory. Godly friends carry you to victory. There's a story in Mark and a story in Matthew where there's a crippled man, can't walk, his body's just broken. And he and his friends, they hear about this man coming to town named Jesus with divine healing power. And everybody that he touches is healed, blind eyes open, demon-possessed people set free, whole village is blessed, whole village is saved. He's coming to our town. And these friends, they pick up their mate who was on a mat, and they carry him to where Jesus was. But the house that Jesus was in was full, so they couldn't get in. No one could get in. It was jam-packed. And his friend said, don't worry, mate. I heard that this roof is made out of straw and mud. So they carry him up there, and they dig a hole in someone else's roof and they lower their friend down to the ground to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, he doesn't say, your faith has made you well. No, he says, their faith has set you free. Their faith has made you well. Their faith has healed you. Get up and walk in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know what that friend was like down on his little mat down here, all crippled and stuff. I don't know if he wanted to go. I don't know if he was sick of false hope, if he's like sick of every magician that comes to town, every new concoction of pills that could save him. And he's like, no, I don't want to go. I'm sick of this. I can't walk, guys. I can't get there. And they take the mat that he'd been stuck to. They lift it up. They carry him. This is what godly friends do. They don't let you make an excuse to stay in your misery. They don't let you stay in your self-pity. They don't let you stay in your drama. They're going to carry you to your victory. They're going to carry you whether you want the victory or not. Godly friends, whether you're tired, burnt out, worn out, they're going to carry you into the house of God. You got to come and hear the sermon at Eternity Church. I don't have a car. I'll pick you up. I will drive you to church. You got to come here. Fine, I'll come with you. You get here, the door's full. Room's full. Don't worry. I heard that Eternity Church has a metal roof. I brought my DeWalt battery-powered grinder. I'm going to get you in there. And we cut a hole in the roof. Kick him down the hole. Get in there. Your faith will make them well. Your faith will save them. Your faith will bless them. You need to do everything you can as a godly friend. You have unsaved people in your life. You are the only godly friend. Your faith will heal them. Your faith will bring them into the house of God where they'll be saved in Jesus' name. And for those of you who feel like you need more friends, you do, because that's what friends do. Sometimes you get so burnt out and worn out that you don't want to do it anymore, that you give up. And those friends are going to drag you through, and you will come out of that hole in Jesus' name. There are people here today that don't know Jesus, and you need Jesus. So I'm going to pray for you. If you don't have a friendship with Jesus, someone brought you to church today so that you could meet Jesus today. Or you found us online. Well, that was a setup. God wants you to meet Jesus today. If you don't know Jesus, give him your life today. Pray a prayer with me and let him change everything. There are two plans for your life. There's the plan that God has for you. That when he created mankind, when he designed us, he thought of you and he had a plan for your life. And scripture says a plan to bless you, to prosper you, to heal you, to give you a future that's overflowing with hope. That's God's plan. But then there's the devil's plan. Jesus said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, to rob you, to shame you, to hurt you. And he's been getting away with it for too long. And today, you need to give your life to Jesus and say, I'm stepping out of his plans and I'm stepping into God's plans, amen. God's going to take that shame. God's going to take that sin. God's going to take that hurt and he's going to set me free. And he's going to bless my life, fill it with hope in Jesus' name. And the way we do that is by praying a prayer. Scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not even asking you to stop sinning. I don't care. I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus Christ. If there's something in your life that offends God, if there's something in your life that hurts you or hurts others, hey, God will speak to you about it. He's not done speaking. God will speak to you about it. And when he does, I encourage you to listen, because he's going to give you the strength and the power to win that battle at that time. He'll even give you people that you can go and talk to and ask for help if you want. But right now, I just want you to meet Jesus. So everybody in the room is going to pray a prayer with me. Every single person, one line at a time. Every single person, you won't be alone. We all do this every week. So those who are away from God and those who've never had a friendship with God, repeat this prayer after me. Everybody together in a bold voice. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross, paid the price for my sin, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special, just for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. All right. If you prayed that prayer, there's two things we want you to do. Number one, we want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. Those details are on our social media. All of our social media handles are at My Eternity Church. Those details are on there as well. If you text that this week in the mail, you'll receive another gift. We're obsessed with generosity here. We just want another opportunity to bless you. You'll get a Bible, a CD. You'll even get a gift card to a local coffee shop. Not a buy one, get one free. Straight up, hard cash value, all right? So we just want to bless you today, so do that. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to lift up your hand when I count to three so I can pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come down there. I'm just going to pray for you. So if everybody could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person in this room, give people the privacy they deserve, making the greatest decision of their lives. If you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand so I can pray for God's favor and blessing to rain upon your life. One, two, three. Lift up your hand and show me who you are. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 10. Awesome. Let's all pray for these 10 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 10 souls set free, 10 souls stepping into a new day, stepping out of the devil's drama and stepping into God's, into your great, mighty, wonderful plans to bless and prosper them. God, help us to help them become all that you designed them to be. God, I ask you to just take away their shame and their pain and their hurt, the things they've done or the things done to them or around them that have caused them shame. God, break it off their lives in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And overflow their hearts and their minds with hope and everlasting joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk off this stage right now. Service will close in 4 minutes. I know we went over. It's not my fault. It's the parents that got their kids dedicated's fault, right? It's not my fault. Their fault. I was one of them, wasn't I? Oh, well. So it is my fault again. But seriously, I want to pray for people now. So come down the front if you need prayer, if you need a friend, if your faith is weak and you need a miracle, come borrow our faith. Our team is overflowing with faith, so much so we can lend you some and still have enough faith for us to live a blessed week as well. So come on down the front. Let me tell you this right now, your God in heaven is willing and able to help you. So if you need prayer, come straight down the front right now. God bless you. Love you heaps.